Thank you. What a joy it is to get together with you guys and to enjoy the Lord together with one another. And we just continue our spirit of worship and what we hear say and what we hear next half hour or so. I will limit myself to half an hour. In the words of Harry Callahan, a man's got to know his own limitations. So my limitations are about a half an hour or so. I'll hold myself to that. As I was preparing this word, twice I tried to get away from what I'm going to say this morning, and tried to say something different, but the Lord has brought me back to this word, and so I'll just share it with you, and commit it to the Lord, both the speaking and the hearing of it. Unfortunately, part of this message is a Jeremiah, but also whenever that is spoken, Jeremiah is spoken, there needs to be a message of hope also. And so the greater portion of what I want to say is going to be a message of hope to us in these days. Jeremiah is the lamentations of Jeremiah over Jerusalem and Judah and their demise. The very beginning of Lamentation says in chapter 1, it says, "How lovely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become, she that was great among the nations." I'm reminded of the city that Jeremiah talks about, that was once said about our country that we live in today, that John Winthrop said it in 1630 in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, said that that their community that they had set up, the Puritans had set up there, Boston and the environs around Boston, that they were set up as a city upon the hill. The eyes of all the people were upon them, were upon us. But woe, that city has become like a widow, Jeremiah says. She who was great, but now looks at what she has become, among the nations. She has become as a widow among the nations. And I'm afraid that that's my message to us today. In the days that we are living through in this country, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the world, but in this country, I'm constantly reminded about something Lance Lambert said many years ago. Some people would say that he prophesied about these things. But there are two things in particular that really have stuck with me over the years. When he talked about the United States, the first thing he said about this country was that at some point we would no longer be a world power on the world scene, but that we would still exist, we would still be a nation, but we would lose our status as a world power at some point. And the second thing that Lance said that's always stuck with me, said about internally in this country, said there will be a day when law and order breaks down, and that vigilante law would take hold and would prevail in this land. And I'll just leave it at that, and trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts. What I want to share this morning is, it's not, by no means is it a political statement. I'm not going to deal with politics at all. I just want to say that in this country, in the days in which we live in this country, that we shall experience, I believe, that there will be no savior for us found among men. whether there's going to be no savior among the Democrats, whether if they get elected, or if the Republicans stay in power, there's going to be no savior for us. It's not going to come from the left, nor from the right. It's not to men that we look to in these days that are going to save us from the day, from the things that we are going to experience. So what I'm going to say is I'm not speaking of men here or events in depth, but I want us to look at what God's purpose is in the things that we are experiencing. We need to have God's heart about these things. And I would just remind us that our citizenship belongs in heaven and not primarily on this earth or to this country, but we are citizens of heaven. And so we must have a vision of what heaven's is saying and hear the Lord's voice in these days. So from my sense of what we have been going through in this country in the last few years, and as I seek the Lord about it and as he speaks to my heart, it seems to me that I think, if I might use the term God's heartache or God's anguish about this nation and the direction it was headed, I think it all, for me, it seemed like it all started in 1988. I'm not going to be any more specific than that, just to say that men were starting to do things that were, I think, grievous. Men in leadership were doing things that were grievous to God's heart. And then I think it was about 2004 that there was an event that took place. I'm not even going to be so specific about it, but there's something that took place, the federal government did, that to me, it seemed as if Pandora's box was open. I don't know if you know what I mean by Pandora's box, but the lid was lifted and out came all kinds of evil upon this country. And to this day, I don't think that those powers have been dissipated. And again, I would repeat, I don't think there will be a man that will rise up to be our savior from these powers. And I would just remind us of what Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 6 about what we are up against. And it may be that these words are more important today in this country than they have been in past years. But Paul said in chapter 6 of Ephesians, "For we are not contending against flesh and against blood, but we are contending against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So he was, I don't think Paul was trying to be redundant in his language, but I think that Paul was being very specific of what these forces are that can be unleashed on this earth. Obviously, he felt it keenly in the day that he lived, when Nero was the emperor. So to me, it seems like these principalities, powers, world rulers, and spiritual hosts have been unleashed in this country by the actions of men and leadership. And we are, men have reaped the whirlwind, and we're sowing the seeds of, we're experiencing the seeds of what has been reaped before us. I want us to be aware of something else besides just the plight that we might think that we find ourselves in today, that God works in mysterious ways. The way I would put it, that God has strange bedfellows, and his agents or his vessels that he uses might surprise us. Sometimes I think we put God in a box and we narrow him down to things that seem to be so black and white. When the Lord works, I think, in mysterious ways in which little do we realize what's happening among us. I just want to remind us of a few instances in the history of Israel and Judah, and how God used men and forces that seemingly should not have been used by God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, it says that Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He was in high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Now that's, if you know biblical Bible history, that's quite an astonishing phrase there, that the Lord gave Syria victory through Naaman. Syria, throughout the years, oppressed and invaded Israel and Judah on just a number of occasions. There were a constant thorn in their side. But it says that the Lord gave Syria victory through Naaman. And then in another instance, if that was the only one, that would be curious enough. But in other instances, it says, as Isaiah 10 says, "Ah, Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff of my fury," the Lord says. We know that Assyria was the kingdom that came and invaded the northern 10 tribes of Israel and took them into captivity and kept them in captivity throughout the years. But it says in Assyria was the Lord's anger and it was his fury. Assyria was used that way. And then further, Isaiah says, "The Lord your Redeemer says thus of Cyrus," who was, of course, the king of Babylon, "He is my shepherd. He shall fulfill all my purpose." Now, we know that has to do with the restoration of Judah back to the land. But if you would have talked to a Jew in that day about whether God would ever use the king of Babylon to be his tool, nobody would have ever believed that to be true. But there you have it. Cyrus was used as God's servant and for God's purpose, fulfilling God's purpose. And finally, I'll just end this part of it. In Joel chapter 2, Joel is talking about this invasion of locusts upon the land of Judah, or it could be Israel also. And in Joel's view of things, the locusts were actually a symbol or a type of an invading army that were going to beset the Jewish nation. And it says, Joel says, "The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his host is exceedingly great. He that executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great, For the day of the Lord is very terrible. Who can endure it? So the invading armies of whether it be Babylon or Assyria or Syria or Assyria or Syria were God's tools used by his hand. And that seems very curious to me that God would use such things as this. Today it would be as if to say that God was going to unleash, let's say, the Islamic nations to invade this country, or the Chinese, or the godless Russians, that they would be unleashed upon this country. We say that, and that God was behind that. God was the author of such things. We'd say, oh, can't be. No, there's no way that God would let that happen. And yet, that's exactly what happened to Israel and Judah in their day. So, and God, I don't think he changes. I know you know that. He does not change in the ways that he deals with the nations. So, it's just something to think about, that it's not going to be just all black and white and so well organized for us, but things of God's mysteries are going to be unleashed, I think, in the days to come. And we are unfortunately going to have to experience much of what's going to happen. So I wanted to leave us with some questions, and then I'll just say a few things about each of these questions. What is our spiritual sense about the time in which we live? What is our spiritual sense of these things? We can have observations and we can have opinions and be swayed one way or another by the speeches and the things that men say, but what is our spiritual sense? What is God saying to us that God wants from us in these days? I'll just use an example of a sister here in Atlanta that Luann knows more than I do, and I'll just use it as anecdotal evidence. A sister who had to take her father into their home, her and her husband. And her husband was dead set against her husband. Against her father coming into the home. But she had to do it because of the COVID-19 situation. And she just sent out an email to me just the other day and said that her father had just passed away. I don't know if it was from COVID-19 or what, but he just passed away. And she found out within days of that, or the same day, that she had just lost her job. And her reply to it was, "I just don't know what to do." As if she was undone by her situation. She just didn't know what to turn to or where her help would come from. She was so beset by the plight that had been set upon her. And of course, that's just a natural feeling that I think all of us would have, and we'll address that in just a second, of what we do with those kinds of feelings. But I wonder if the days might come when things are come down upon us that we might say to ourselves, where do we turn? Where are we going to find our help? I just don't know what to do in this day. One of the things that really struck me was a book that John and Jackie had said that they had been reading recently, and I just picked it up and started reading it again myself, by Lance Lambert. It's The Preparation for the Coming of the Lord. I just want to read a couple of sentences that he talks about what's going to happen to the church in these days before the Lord returns. And he says, about the church. We are going to feel something in the atmosphere. We are going to feel the current flowing against us. The current, like an ocean current, flowing against us. We are going to feel a pressure in the atmosphere, and without any shadow of a doubt, the result will be abnormal weariness. We will all feel an abnormal weariness that comes upon us because of the pressure that is beset, that has been placed upon us by the principalities, the powers, the world rulers, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places that have been unleashed among us. So, in these days that may come upon us, maybe I'm just absolutely wrong about this. I hope I am, but it will not do us any harm if we carry this attitude of what might beset us in the days to come, and heed what the Lord says to us. And where is our hope? Where are we going to turn to that this sister could not find in the day of her sorrow? Where are we going to turn? And I just want us to remember a few things. Remember a few things about the Lord Himself. Remember His purpose. Now, I just want to read a verse from Revelation chapter 11. This is the summation of what the Lord is doing and He's going to accomplish in His day. He said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and the kingdom of His Christ." Kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and the kingdom of His Christ. That is His ultimate purpose. That all that's taking place in this world and taking place in this country is for the ultimate purpose that His kingdom shall be and will be established on this earth. There will be a day when all the nations of the world shall recognize the kingdom of God and surrender to Messiah. I just want us to keep that hope before us and know that that's the ultimate result of all that we are going to go through and experience. Now, I want us to remember in particular His promise to us. And I just want to read a verse from Proverbs chapter 3, one of my favorite verses. And it says, "Do not be afraid of sudden panic." And I like the translation that says, "Do not be afraid of sudden fear. Do not be afraid of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, because the Lord will be your confidence, because the Lord will keep your foot from being caught." What that verse says to me is that sudden fears will come upon us, will come upon all of us. And I'm sure that many of us have already experienced that in different experiences in our lives, when we've known sudden fear that has seized upon us because of some situation that we have faced, whether it's a loss of job or it's an illness in the family or it's a death in the family or some other event that has just come upon us suddenly. And we're just seized with fear, in the sense of fear, of shock, of we're frozen by a sudden fear, and we are filled with disbelief that something like this could actually happen to us. Why would the Lord allow something like this happen to me or to my family? We're just filled with disbelief. And this is all, and the Lord knows, this is all very natural to us. We will be filled with sudden fear at different times in our life and perhaps in the days to come. But the Lord says, stop. Take a deep breath and remember what I have promised. Do not be afraid of sudden fear. The Lord will be your confidence. Not that you're going to have confidence in the Lord, that you're going to have to muster up some feeling, but that you have, the Lord is your confidence. The Lord will keep your foot from being caught. And then also remember his provision to us. And I just want to read, I read Lamentations to begin with, and what's going to happen to set the city, which was Jerusalem at that time, but maybe the city that sits on the hill, we may be in that situation. But in the midst of Lamentations, in the third chapter, the Lord says, or Jeremiah says of the Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The mercies of the Lord never come to an end. They are new every morning. The faithfulness of the Lord is great. My soul says, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. So right in the midst of turmoil, of things that will beset us, there is the Lord every morning for us. He does not fail us every morning. His love, his mercy, his faithfulness are there every morning for us. No matter what may face us in the days to come, we need not fear the sudden fear that comes upon us. The Lord is faithful to us. And then we'll just end with this, a couple of things. What is our responsibility then? What is that Lord asking us to do besides trusting his faithfulness and his promise? Jesus told us about the kingdom of heaven. He said that the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens in Matthew chapter 24. And these 10 maidens who took their lamps, who went to meet the bridegroom. 5 maidens were foolish. They took no flasks of oil with them while they waited. 5 maidens were wise. They took flasks of oil with them while they waited. So in the days of our waiting for the return of the Lord, how I so wish that when Eddie Lee and I first were saved back in 1974, the rightly or wrongly, the urgency we had for the Lord's return. I mean, there were people that quit jobs, quit doing anything, were waiting for the imminent return of the Lord. How I wish that same spirit of expectancy would return upon the church today of the Lord's imminent return. But in the days of our waiting for his return, that we would have a reserve of oil, the Lord asks us to have, meaning the Spirit, his Spirit within us, that there would be enough to sustain us. So as in the instance of this sister who said, I just don't know what to do, that there would be this drawing upon this reserve of the Spirit within her that would buoy her up and say, the Lord, I know the Lord is still in control and he will care for me and my family. And then finally it says that the Lord says in 5 different times, and these are not repeat, you know how Matthew, Mark, and Luke repeat one another quite often in different instances. But in this case, there's 5 distinctive times in which Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, watch, watch, be ready. And then Luke adds the word pray. We've heard it said by wise men that we have known that when the Lord says something once, listen. But when he says something twice, listen very carefully. But what should we say when the Lord says something 5 different times within a few minutes to his disciples? watch, be ready, be praying. So I'll just want to end in this one last note. It says, how then shall we live our lives today if the Lord is to return, if maybe perhaps we will face very difficult times in this country. Some of you might not believe it, but some of you might. Well, how should we spend our, what should we do differently? Should we be hoarding food? Should we be doing certain things that we're not doing now? I think this is a quote from Spurgeon. I'm not sure. One of you might know better than I. But somebody asked Spurgeon at one time, I think it was Spurgeon, if you knew that the Lord was returning today or tomorrow, what would you do today any different? And Spurgeon, he answered, I would do exactly what I'm doing right now. He would make no changes in his life at all. May it be that our walk with the Lord is such that we could say, I'm not going to change a thing that I'm doing, because I know that the Lord, who the Lord is. He is my confidence. He is my faithfulness. He is the love that I need, everlasting love. And I think this might be an answer to that, what Jesus said about when he was to return. He said that there would be two men in the field working. There would be two women grinding at the stone, and one would be taken and one would be left. There's just a man in the field doing work as he does every day, and yet he is taken. He's like Spurgeon. He's just doing exactly what he was doing at that moment. And the two women grinding at the stone, one is taken, one is left. She's just going about her work, but there's some kind of a life in her, and a life in this man in the field, that they instantly responding to the trumpet sound. And look to the heavens, for the Lord has returned. So may it be that though we might face difficult times in the days to come, yet the Lord is wonderful in his promises to us. Right in the midst of it, he is our loving kindness to us. So let's just end with a word of prayer. Father, we commit our lives to you, our individual lives. And after all, it's all that we have to offer to you when it really comes down to it. And we stand before your throne is all we have is ourselves. So right now, just as an individual, we commit our hearts to you. That Lord, that where there is sudden fear that is upon us, or there is a fear of things that might come upon us, that Lord, we might have our confidence in you. Confidence for ourselves individually, but Lord, confidence for our family, for our loved ones, that you know exactly what we need even before we ask. You know exactly what we need. Oh, what a father you are to trust. Even the best of men in their giving of the best of gifts to their children seem evil compared to the wonderful gifts that you give to us, the wonderful provision you shall give to your people in these last days. And Lord, may there be that expectancy of your soon return that would be revived in our hearts. And Lord, we do pray and plead, raise up your prophet among us, Lord, that will give the clarion call to your children to be raised up and to have expectant hearts for your return and to be prepared for the days to come. Raise up your man, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.